GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
We want to make the most of our time on the Feed EQ Door telephone line talking with Maine Senator Susan Collins. And you said that you would make an announcement concerning seeking re-election by the end of fall. And you got to the deadline, what, 48 hours?
December 21st is the end of fall, so okay. I made it.
And you announced you are going to seek re-election. Tell us about the thoughts.
I am. I gave it a lot of thought. I usually prefer to wait to the election year to announce because I think campaigns last too long, but when I started getting attacked nonstop by these false out-of-state dark money ads, I felt that I could no longer delay the decision. So I talked with a lot of my constituents, my family and friends, and I decided that I still have a lot to contribute to the state of Maine. If I'm reelected, I will become, after 2 years, the chairman of the most powerful committee in the Senate, the Appropriations Committee, which will help me be even more effective for the state. And most of all, I concluded that there was still a place in Washington for someone who tries to bring people together and acts through bipartisanship, collegiality, compromise to get things done. And that really was the question that I thought the most about, as well as the impact on my family.
Good morning, Senator. Collegiality, I can't spell it, but I can't think I can pronounce it. And bipartisanship. I haven't seen a lot of collegiality very much lately. I was thinking, if you are successful in your fifth term, that'll put you in the limelight in the Senate for 30 years. Have you even comprehended that in your mind, the amount of influence you've had on the United States of America in what would be 30 years if you're successful?
Well, it's a great honor to be able to serve that long. And when I do look back, I'm proud of the accomplishments that I've been able to make, the role that I've played on some very key issues for our country, such as strengthening our security after the terrorist attacks of 9/11. I've seen a lot of history over those years. There's no doubt about it. And my staff was doing a little history about what it would mean in Maine history, and it's been a long time since someone has served that amount of time, and it's one reason that the last time there was a Mainer who chaired the Senate Appropriations Committee was in the 1930s. And that is the most powerful committee position that we have.
The aforementioned collegiality and bipartisanship, our mind does go to the U.S. House and the historic vote yesterday to impeach President Trump. And now, whether or not or when the articles of impeachment make their way over to the Senate, your thoughts on the vote last night?
Well, we didn't. I would certainly concede that we didn't see a lot of collegiality or bipartisanship in that momentous decision. I view my role as being that of a juror and judge primarily as we face the impeachment trial. I'm a bit puzzled by Speaker Pelosi saying that she's not sure she's going to send the articles over to the Senate right away. As I understand the precedents, and I was briefed last week by the Congressional Research Service, it is automatic that the articles of impeachment be sent to the Senate, and the Senate has no choice but to hold a trial. Each of us senators takes an oath before the trial begins to render impartial justice, and I take that oath very seriously, and it's one reason that I have been steadfast in refusing to comment on the evidence before we have the trial and both sides make their case. So I view this as a very solemn moment. It is a constitutional responsibility that the Senate will enter into, and I, for one, take it very seriously.
All right, let's come back to your campaign. People keep saying this is going to be one of the toughest campaigns for Senate that she's faced, those pundits on the sidelines. We expect a lot of money to come in. Four Democrats have announced they're seeking to run against you, including Sarah Gideon, who has raised a lot of money also. Do you view this as one of your toughest campaigns ever?
I view all of my campaigns as being tough. I never take anything for granted. But there's no doubt that this one is different in that national Democrats have anointed Sarah Gideon to be their candidate and are pouring endless amounts of money into Maine. We've already seen something like $3 million in negative advertising, distorting, and just outright falsehoods about my record. And that's very frustrating to me. I think that Mainers deserve better. It's one thing to have a vigorous debate on the many philosophical differences between my likely opponent and me, but to have ads run that the Washington Post rated one of them as, quote, mostly false and gave it three Pinocchios is really a disservice to the people of Maine. So, yes, I think it will be tough because the Democrats are determined to try to turn this seat over to the Democratic Party. Elizabeth Warren has announced that she's going to pour $1 million into Maine. The billionaire Tom Steyer has also made a similar announcement. So there's certainly a lot of interest in this race from out-of-state groups. But in the end, it is Mainers who are going to determine what happens. And I have great confidence in their judgment.
Maine Senator Susan Collins, Q&A on GHRT. If we could talk about policy and not politics just for a moment. We know that a couple of things have moved through, even though people are thinking that nothing's going on in Washington. There are some things going on in Washington. And there was an issue with the military widows tax that caught your eye and caught your attention. If you wanted to take a moment and bring us up to speed on that.
I'm absolutely thrilled that working with Senator Doug Jones of Alabama, I was able to remedy this longstanding inequity. What happens is there's an offset between insurance that service members have and a benefit that is paid to their survivors if they're either killed in action or die later on after they've retired from a military, a service-connected disability or illness. Well, that offset made absolutely no sense because one is an insurance program, and if you're a military retiree, you paid for that insurance with your own money. So this inequity, this blatant unfairness on average had reduced benefits by $11,000 for surviving spouses. And a lot of times that's the difference between a comfortable standard of living and just barely scraping by. We have a commitment to those military families who have sacrificed so much and loved ones have died as a result of their service. And finally, and again, this is an example of my working across the aisle, we were able to get that repealed as part of the defense authorization bill. We celebrated in a reception with a lot of military widows because it does disproportionately affect women. And I'll tell you, there were a lot of tears of joy and also sorrow as they were remembering their loved ones. So this is going to make a real difference, and there It affects about 67,000 military spouses across the United States, including a little more than 260 in the state of Maine. And I'm just thrilled that I was able to work to bring to an end this very longstanding unfairness.
Senator, before we let you go, and we're going to have many opportunities to ask you questions coming up in the campaign. I'm not too familiar with the TIC Act, but I understand you were really in favor of this and really worked hard on it.
I did. I've worked with a lot of advocates in Maine who have been affected by Lyme disease and other illnesses that are borne by ticks. Maine has the highest incidence per capita of Lyme disease in the nation. So this can be very serious. It's difficult to diagnose. And it just has not received the attention or funding at the national level that other diseases that are vector-borne or insect-borne diseases. So I'm delighted that the Senate today will clear the TIC Act as part of the appropriation. It will provide funding to state and local public health departments to work on prevention, better diagnosis, earlier treatment. That's going to make a difference for those. Work closely with Paula Jackson Jones, who leads a group in the Mid-Coast, as well as a former member of my staff who has been permanently disabled with Bell's palsy as a result of Lyme disease that was not diagnosed in time, treated effectively. And the University of Maine has a terrific tick lab that is run by Dr. Jim Dill, and we held a hearing this past earlier this year, at which we heard from the experts who were unanimous that this disease needs more federal funding, more attention, and more education. So I am thrilled that in less than a year's time, I've been able to take this bill from conception to the verge of becoming law.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.